Good afternoon, good morning, or good day to wherever you are in the United States or Canada, if you get that, or anywhere else in the world. This is Eugene B. Colson with Mind Controlled America on BBS Internet Radio. This show is about mind control, about the crap the government's doing to us, the stories, the creations, Area 51 garbage. And my special guest today is Joseph Palmero. Did I pronounce that correctly, Joseph?
Palermo, but that's good.
Okay. Joseph has done quite a bit of research on the Chupacabra, and that's what we're going to be talking about primarily today. Joseph, when did you take interest in the Chupacabras or the paranormal?
Oh, well, those are two separate questions. The paranormal I've kind of always had an interest in. My my dad actually raised me on science fiction and horror movies, and I had my...
Did that cause you to morph into anything and become something else in the middle of the night? Or moon?
Only on Halloween.
Only on Halloween.
No, I'd had a few experiences as a child that I didn't know how to explain.
Let's hear about them. This is something we didn't discuss.
Well, this is true. As a child, and I'm talking about four to five years old, something like that, when we lived in the city of St. Louis, and the city of St. Louis is ripe with spirit and ghosts and that kind of thing. It's a very historic town, you know, St. Louis, Missouri. But anyway, one of the first things that happened was I remember being a child. I guess I was in my room playing, and the door shut. Now, this is during the day, not during the night. The door shut, and I began feeling like the room was filled with people, a presence, something. And I could begin hearing murmurs, and I didn't know what was going on, needless to say, and my mother, who was, till the day she died, very protective of me, was calling on my name, and I found that I almost couldn't breathe to try to yell back to her.
Did they force the air out of you?
It was almost like I was in a vacuum. Now, whether this was spirit or UFO connected, I don't know. Mom finally pushed hard enough on the door that it opened, and all those sensations went away, completely away.
Well, starting about 1991, I've been held down in bed and choked, pinned to the floor or pinned to the bed several different times. And I attribute those more to demonic entities than those, you know, ghosts or whatever.
Right, right. And that's entirely possible, because actually I had another similar... There were like three things that happened to me in childhood. This particular time, now we just talked about the one. The other one was, it was a Sunday morning, both during the day. How about that? Sunday morning, it was my habit to... we lived above Palermo's Tavern, okay? And it was my habit of a Sunday morning to go down through the tavern, go to the outdoor, pick up the Sunday paper, and come up and bring it up to Mom and Dad in bed. So this particular Sunday, I'm heading down just like I would any other day, and I hit the flat, and I hear a voice say, "Stop." And I stopped, and I looked back up, and because I thought it was Dad. It was a male voice. But my father was not up at the top of the stairs. And I thought... And I looked around, and I didn't see anything, didn't hear anything else. I just imagined it. So I started to take another step, and I heard it again, "Stop." And then I thought, okay, what is this? And it seemed like the voice was coming from the wall. And...
Was there an accident or something that it was stopping you from being involved in?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Because I did hear my actual dad upstairs saying, "Joe, have you got the paper yet?" "No, why not?" "I don't know." You know, so I went on down, you know, scampered through the tavern, hit the outside door, picked up the paper, looked around, beautiful sunny morning, everything was just normal, and I came back in, and I'm kind of cautiously moving back through the tavern, because I don't know who or what that voice was, but just everything was normal. So I hit the steps, went up to that flat again, and I heard stop again, and this time there was more than one voice, and I don't remember exactly.
Were they all male?
No, some was female. And I remember there being they were telling me if I didn't do exactly what they said, they would hurt mom and dad. So, of course, I'm in a quandary. And I'm starting to cry a little bit. And then I heard my dad again. Joe! Yes, sir. Have you got that paper? Yeah? Well, then get it up here. And I thought, well, I don't know who you are in the invisible voice, but I know who the man upstairs is, and I know what he'll do to me if I don't get that paper up there. So that, you know, aided me in getting on back on up there and that kind of thing. So I don't, very strange, very strange. So the paranormal has been part of my life since pretty much first conscious memory.
Well, I didn't know this until, I'd say a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in a ritual abuse background, satanic, generational satanic ritual, wonderful group.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a spirit. My parents had kind of a bungalow house where they had this little closet, you know, that goes down to the gables of the house. You know,
mm-hmm.
It starts out about 4 foot tall and down.
Right.
And my brother told me that my sister, there was an evil spirit that lived in there that was black, about 4 foot tall, and would come out and bother her on occasion. Now, I remember vividly when I was 9 years old, I was walking from the garage
mm-hmm.
towards the back of the garage, which had steps that went up to the back porch, and I see this black foot stick out from the doorway. It
wow.
sticks out and pulls back.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, because this was, you know, 60s, where there weren't very many mixed neighborhoods, and I'm thinking, there's no blacks in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder where a black kid came from. And I go back there, and there was nothing there.
Wow.
But you know, and I've experienced the Roswell-type alien that when I was about 10 years old, it was in the house, you know, doing its talk. And have you run across many people that claim to be abducted, Joe?
Oh, yes. In, you know, for about 8 years, I was part of the Mutual UFO Network here in Missouri. And
were their stories very similar?
Story was similar in similar some activities, similar in some description of what the beings were. But there, when it comes to the abduction scenario, there are apparently a variety of aliens, or at least the presentation of there being various alien forms involved in the abductions.
Well, there are different ones. In my first show, if anybody's interested, look up the first show, and I'll tell about my wonderful experience at Roswell. They're androids, and they're created there. And they, you know, it takes two fetuses and one clone 15-year-old to create one android, minimum.
Hmm.
And now, were these people that you ran across who claimed to be abducted, what, did they claim they were tortured?
Not people that I talked with. There didn't seem to be any torture involved. And I'm talking about some of the people that you would have seen on documentaries, Rosemary Azzanotto and Gene Robinson, you know, people that are the high profile abductees. And I got to know them through the conferences and actually some behind the scenes work that was being done between I don't know if you guys have heard of John Carpenter, but he was at one point the director of abduction research for MUFON. In fact, I just saw him a couple of weeks ago. He's coming back on the trail, and John got quite heavily involved in abduction research, especially here in Missouri. He's the one that brought Debbie Jordan and the woman I mentioned a moment ago, Gene Robinson, together because of their similarities in their cases. So I
did they have how many of did many of these people claim they came from a ritual abuse background? They claim to be abducted.
You know what? I don't know that any of them do.
I have read that most people that claim abduction came out of a ritual abuse background.
Okay, and then my question to that research would be, who did the research and who were the...
I don't know. It was like 8 years ago when I read about it. I mean, I came from a ritual abuse background.
Mm-hmm.
And now, did any of these people describe what their voices sounded like? The aliens or androids, as I would claim that they are.
Okay, give me a second to think about that, because it's been a while since those discussions.
Well, I'll explain the one when it was in my parents' bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that have their larynx removed and they have that vibrator they put up to their throat,
sure,
so they can talk.
Right.
It sounded real crackly, and like 10 of these vibrator things were going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It would be something right out of a horror movie, the way they talk. It's real...
Okay.
Disjointed, crackly, you know.
Robotic?
Yes.
Sure. Sure. The people I have been involved with, the known abductees, no, they have not spoken of anything like that. However, I do have some people that I've worked with over the years, come to know as friends and such, that they will periodically experience something that seems like it might be on the verge of an abduction. But an abduction doesn't occur, but they can hear sounds in the air, sometimes similar to what you're talking about, but there's nothing there. It's almost like something invisible is in the room, but when there's any kind of a communication, it sounds like what you're talking about. And people will get that over the phone as well.
Yes. And now we're going to talk about what the show we were originally talking about. Before we get to that, when you heard that those voices stop, was that the last time you experienced anything like this?
Last time I experienced anything like that, yes. I do think that I was probably abducted as a child, too.
Well, then you're probably a mind control victim as well.
Well, that could be. That could be. People who know me would not necessarily go that direction, because I'm pretty independent and pretty stubborn with what I want to do.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. They go for the talented people first. Let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
What do you see when you close your eyes to go to sleep?
What do I see when I close my eyes to go to sleep? Well, start off with kind of a black void, and then... depending on what kind of a day I've had and how active my mind is, I can see different locations. I can see...
How about flashing lights?
Flashing lights. Flashing lights. Very rarely, but yeah, I have seen that.
Like a lightning storm?
A lightning storm. See, as precise as you're being, I'm working to be as precise back with you. Like a lightning storm. Oh, good. Kind of like heat lightning. Yeah. Not actual branch lightning, but heat lightning, yeah.
Red, blue, and orange lights?
More white.
Mm-hmm.
More
and
white.
Have you ever had any missing time?
Yes. I've
How
accounted
often?
For that, though.
How often?
How often? Potentially, well, two that I'm sure of, potentially two other times.
Now, do you ever feel like you're floating above yourself, like 3 foot above, just looking down?
No, I've not done that.
How's your deja vu feelings?
Deja vu?
Yeah.
Not only have I experienced deja vu, but I don't know if anybody's ever talked to you about skipping timelines.
Yeah, well, that's missing time.
Okay,
time.
Okay, then we have a different understanding of missing time.
Well, you see, what they do if you're a mind control victim, in my case, I can only speak for me, well, I've talked to numerous others,
mm-hmm,
is they will take and they will use you. And then they will bring you back when they're doing the memory dump, and they'll program in you something that you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So that might account for your definition of skipping timelines.
Okay.
So you have, so they'll program in you what you did, or they'll sit you in front of the TV and they'll run a newsreel and say you were watching the news and this is what happened in the world. And how's your anxiety or panic attacks?
No.
Do you have them?
No, I don't have panic attacks.
Well, you know, there's, they, how old do you think you were when you were abducted?
Oh, the very first time?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, okay. And when was the last time?
The last time that I think that I may have been abducted. Well, okay, here's the tricky part. The two times that there was kind of the missing time, I wasn't abducted. The person that was with me was abducted.
Do you see any of the aliens yourself?
Yes.
What did they look like?
Yes. After the Skywatch, those aliens seem to be the gray type.
The 4 foot tall grays?
Now that's interesting that you mentioned that, because the woman I was driving with was taken from her driver's seat. I was in the passenger seat in the front, and the beings could open the door, and then they had to lean down a little bit to reach the woman. So I think we were in a station wagon. So whatever the average height up to there, they had to duck down a little bit to get into it. And these beings, along with having, I have to take in consideration that we're talking about like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's usually at night.
You know, they did have the chalky white, you know, head and hands, but I don't know if that was the true color or if that was the only shade of black or white that my eyes could pick up. I don't know, you know, but
The eyes, were they the 50s style round eyes, or were they the more
round? They
were
round.
Okay, that's the older style of gray.
And I remember thinking I remember it from the hypnosis session that I did, and I thought when I saw those round eyes, I thought their eyes are not supposed to be round. They're supposed to be like slanted upwards or something. They're not supposed to be round. And it was that time here in St. Charles, Missouri, that we were holding the Show Me conferences. And Linda
Moulton. What year was this? What year was this?
I'm going to say 89 or 90.
Mm-hmm.
89, I'm thinking. Because I was in my apartment in St. Charles. And that was, I believe that was the first year that we had the Show Me conferences. And Linda Moulton Howe was one of the speakers, and she talked about the various different kinds of grays that there were. And this is the first time I'd ever heard it in a public forum. She said some of them have round eyes. And I thought, oh, okay. So it wasn't my imagination. I didn't make this up.
Well, the older ones, you know, the ones that were in the 50s and early 60s,
mm-hmm.
People would describe them as the round-eyed ones.
Really?
And they're still around, you know. I don't know how old these things live or if they can ever, you know.
Well, certainly if they're robotic or bionic, you know, as you're suggesting, they could probably go forever.
Well, the one that I saw in my parents' bedroom.
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures of the ones at the Roswell crash site?
I've seen, yeah, of course, illustrations, yeah.
And they're much stockier than probably the ones that you saw. The ones you saw were probably quite slim, weren't they?
You know what? Not so much.
Well, you might have thought one of the older ones. See, the one that was in my parents' bedroom was like the one you see at the Roswell crash site. It's stockier. It's about 4 foot tall. The typical grays with the slanty eyes are usually very slim, but that's not necessarily the case. They can engineer these things to be different. They just add different DNAs.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You're aware of abduction reports that were occurring back in the 50s.
I have heard it on the radio.
Okay. Well, you know, in Bud Hopkins' book, Missing Time, there's a woman that he worked with that remembered her abduction experiences all the way back to, like, 1925. So, yeah, abductions have been going on all that time. This has all been piecing together the data from people that contact you and give you their descriptions. But I was not aware of round-eyed grays being reported from situations that happened in the 50s.
Well, the crafts at Roswell, they had round eyes. They were stockier and genetically somewhat different than the grays that they're manufacturing now.
Mm-hmm.
So they told me, this is what the scientists at Roswell told me. I said, where'd they come from? They said they came from pre-flood man. And we can make the grays better or more efficient, if you can call these horrendous things better, but they cannot duplicate the anti-gravity devices. They said they possibly could have, the technology could have come from another world like Mars. Mars was probably inhabited and man destroyed itself like we're trying to do in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's possibly another planet that was blown up that was between Earth and Mars. And that's the asteroid belt circling around this universe.
Right. If I may be getting this mixed up, but that almost sounds like some of what Zachariah Sitchin talks about with, what is it, Marduk and Tiamat?
Were you tortured?
I'm sorry?
Were you tortured?
Was I tortured?
Yes.
Not that I am aware of. There hasn't been any hypnosis that I've gone through that brought out any of that. Now, like I say, the two vivid ones were where I was not taken. The other people were taken. The last one that I remember, and it was at my mother's house, my habit was to sleep on the couch in the front room. And I went to bed that night. My next conscious waking moment was I was standing in the middle of the living room, looking out the front windows, seeing 8 small shadowy figures scurrying towards the front of the house. And I remember turning to my right very quickly, like launching myself towards the dining room, feeling extreme panic. Now, I don't know where I thought I was going.
How old were you?
Oh, I was a full-blown adult. We're talking, I'm going to guess I was somewhere between 30 and 35.
How old are you now, Joseph?
I just turned 50.
Okay, I'm 51. And I'm going to venture to say that you're a mind control victim as well. I mean, how much hypnotherapy have you had?
Oh, just 2 sessions. One was by my sister, who was a hypnotherapist, and the other one was by a man named Bob Carter, who was also a certified hypnotherapist.
Well, what I would suggest you do is you start journaling. Start writing out all these accounts and keep thinking about them, and you will find your memory coming back. Now, I'm going to venture to say that you and your sister, and possibly your parents, may have been mind control victims as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been doing this for a long time. This technology's been around probably since pre-flood.
Okay. Now, I'm going to turn the table here for just a second for my sake and our listeners' sake. Let's say for sake of discussion that I am. I don't know that I am, not admitting that I am, don't know, you give me some food for thought, but let's say that I am. What meaning does that have for my life? What impact does that have for me in your knowledge base?
You're not free. They're still using you. They'll still use you to do their bidding. I mean, do you have any dreams of combat or assassination?
No.
Wild sex parties?
No.
Okay. Do you have any technical skills that they could use, or like computer science?
Computer, yeah.
Okay, well, they could use you. Are you very good on computers?
I'm reasonable.
Well, they probably use you for some technical abilities. They'll use people for their abilities, and they don't use everybody in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they want you to do research for them or something like that, or they just might be doing it just because they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes they'll just do this to people because they can, and there's nobody to tell them no.
Right.
And are you married?
No.
Or let's say you have some genetic superiority over other individuals. They will use people just for that.
Hmm.
And or just because they can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you connected with any religion at one time?
I was baptized Lutheran, even though I pretty well walked away from that. You know, there's only so many times that when you ask a question, say, well, if you don't do this, you go to hell. It's
yeah,
like, that
right.
Only works so many times.
Yeah, if you don't give us all your money and listen to us every week, you're going to hell.
Yeah. Well, you guys can go ahead and play your game if you want. I'm going to go to the park. let's see. I was involved with Unity Christ Church for a while, and until I found the... this is no reflection on the philosophies of Charles and Merle Fillmore, who were the founders of Unity, because I really like the metaphysical approach. But a church is a church is a church is what I found out. As long as you got humans that are in the administration and in the board of directors and all that, you're going to have same problems that you do with any other organization. And I don't have time for that kind of crap anymore.
Was your father in the military?
No. My dad wasn't. I'm sorry?
Were there any people around you on a regular basis that were military?
Well, my brother served in the Army. My uncle was in the military. It seems like I've grown up with people that worked at McDonnell Douglas.
Okay, all right. Yep. Contractor. How many people were around you that were intelligence?
That were in intelligence.
Yes. CIA, military intelligence, FBI.
None that I'm aware of.
Well, McDonnell Douglas, if there's been a lot of people around you that were McDonnell Douglas, were they the engineers and people that did the more technical thing?
Right.
Okay. Well, they were probably using you that way and probably still are.
Hmm.
McDonnell Douglas, Northrop Grumman, all these aerospace corporations... are affiliated with intelligence, Area 51, and all that stuff.
I'll be doggone.
Now, so are these people still in contact with you?
Mostly no. The only person that would be my brother, but he was a reduction in forces. He finally retired and what does he do? Works at a deli now, I think.
Well, they do this routine to a lot of military personnel. A lot of military personnel are mind-controlled and don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Most males never remember or come out of it. It's mostly females.
Hmm.
And if you start... do you live in close proximity to your sister, the hypnotherapist?
No, she passed in 94.
Oh. I would recommend that you... I went through 4 years of hypnotherapy, and if you start journaling your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to clear your mind, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer the first thing that pops into your head.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Your eyes closed.
Yes.
Is your mind clear?
Mm. Clear as it can be. I've got a pretty active mind.
Okay. Give me the first name that pops out of your head.
James.
Okay. That is probably a name of one of your altars. I have five. Well, I had five. Early on, I had oral sex, anal sex, altar. I think I had a female altar, but later on, when I got into the military, I had five, and they all became me because my personality is so strong.
Hmm.
And you start journaling, you start going to hypnotherapy on those sessions. See, when you said four or five, they want to get somebody before they're five back then. Now they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But from our age group, they would want to get somebody five and start them, or before and start on them. So for you to tell me that you were abducted when you were 4 years old, that's pretty similar. Now, did you see any of the clowns that would, morph from being a clown to a gray?
No.
Yeah. You got all the symptoms of being a mind control victim yourself. And the way I look at it is, they've stolen so much of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want, in my mind, I want to remember everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they stole it from me. And I want total control of my mind, because they can still get inside my head,
mm-hmm.
but they can't get me to do anything I wouldn't normally do. I am very violent when they get inside my head. You just opened Pandora's box.
Wow. Yeah.
And quite often I've killed them. Or attempt to kill them.
Ooh, this is the most interesting interview I've ever been on.
And we're not even talking about the subject we were going to talk about.
No.
I'm going to have to bring you on next week. Are you available for a show same time next week?
Let me check my calendar real quick. If anybody's listening, feel free to email in or call in or something. Do you have that capability?
I don't have the number from the show. Why don't you give your contact information?
Okay, yes. For any listeners out there that would like to know more about the normal side of my life, go to my website, www.ITS, that's like Ivan Thomas Stephen, -DMS, as in David Michael Stephen, .com. And you can pretty much see where I've been with the Chupacabra, and some Bigfoot information perhaps, and just general paranormal happenings here in St. Louis. I've got an online publication I call the Usha Report that's available for purchase, and the actual documentary that I produced from the expedition in 1996 in Puerto Rico regarding the Chupacabra, that's available too. So, go to www.its-dms.com. Check it out, see if you want to buy something. It would help. Now, back to our program.
Does your sister or any other siblings claim to hear the same type of voices you did as a child, or the abductions?
No.
Have you ever told this to your sister?
Well, my sister was the one that did the regression on me regarding the time when the woman I was riding with, that we pulled off in the woods, and she got taken out of her car by the grays with the round eyes. Mary knew. I don't know that I've had cause to discuss this with my other sister. Certainly not my brother. My brother is so every day down to earth, raise a family, go to church, do your civic duty type person. I that's just something that never comes up with us. We talk about all the everyday mundane stuff when we talk.
Well, I would suggest you discuss this at length with your brother, because what was your brother's job in the military?
Oh boy. Well, it must have been something to do with computers, because when he got out, he went right to work for McDonnell Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Is he a real computer whiz?
No. No, he's more manager material versus actually technical software programming, anything like that. He barely works his own computer at home.
Does he work on the military side of McDonnell Douglas or the civilian? I mean, on military projects, should I say.
I really don't know how to answer that, because we never talked about work. I knew he worked at McAuto. That's about as far as it went, and that he was in charge of keeping schedules going and keeping his people working and blah, blah, blah.
And how old was your sister when she died?
You know, she may have been 58. I seem to recall that there being, because my dad died when he was 58, and all the kids were concerned. Except
and you were
well,
born in,
I did it. Huh?
And you were born in 58.
I was born in 1958.
Numerology is really big for these people as well.
Well, well, that's interesting because I am a numerologist.
Yeah, they're very big into numerology. And my entire experience and most of, and everyone I've talked to that claimed to have had alien UFO experience, there's always a satanic tie. Now, were there people around you when you were growing up that were into the occult that you're aware of?
No.
Was any of your siblings involved in the occult?
No.
Okay. Is there anyone in your life that for some reason you have a Stockholm syndrome that you, you know, they're not always the greatest person to you, but you're constantly calling them or they're calling you, checking up on you?
My first reaction to that is no. Say that question one more time.
Is there anyone in your life that calls you up every other week or every week just to see what you're up to, how you're doing?
No, not really.
Well, there's many people, many people that are working in this alien UFO area. Mm-hmm. Are operatives. In fact, I was talking with one yesterday that I got off the list. I'll not say their name, but I called them up, and I was going to see if they wanted to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we believe that aliens are good, doing good works for mankind. That's why I hate to break it to you, but that's not my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to explain Area 51, and the guy abruptly said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'll give it to my wife, and we'll see if she wants to call you. And he hung up. Now, when I started to tell my Area 51 experience, mm-hmm. weren't you totally enthralled, wanting to hear everything there was?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the natural reaction you'll get out of most people, except people that are working on it. I had a guest on named Al, and he was doing a lot on the Planet X. Research, and he kept going to these UFO organizations, and they kept turning him away, being rude, obnoxious to him, and didn't want him to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my mm-hmm. take is these are probably operatives that don't want you to hear about anything, because earlier this week I was at Starbucks and I started talking with this guy,
mm-hmm.
and he was an MIT astronomer. And I asked him about Planet X. He says, yes, he's seen it. It's smooth on the side. They can see. He said it was about as big as the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked uncomfortable and got out of there very quickly.
Huh.
And I don't know if he was sent, because I get a lot of people coming around me that are sent
right.
to see what I'm up to or to see what I got to say, or if it was a coincidence. I tend to take the take that he was sent.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Because I've run into the number two guy at the GAO office, retired general, CIA hitmen, mafia hitmen, and on it goes. At Starbucks.
What an amazingly rounded life you have.
well, I'm a trained interrogator. I know how to interrogate someone. Actually, you know, this interview, I am interrogating you. But I'm helping you to remember it. And that doesn't matter, you know,
yeah.
But it's helping you to remember, and you really need to do this for yourself. You need to try to remember your alter names, because when a child is abused,
mm-hmm.
They will create an alter. You know, it's a natural reaction everybody does
sure.
to deal with the abuse,
right.
and then when the abuse kicks in or the horror or whatever, torture, then they go into a different compartmentalized part of their mind.
Right.
And their normal conscious self doesn't remember
mm-hmm.
who you are. Now, I found all this with reverse speech. Are you familiar with reverse speech?
I am.
I would suggest you get one of those machines, and I would start taping, recording everybody that calls you and learn how to do it, because I first found out my wife and kids were mind-controlled sex slaves via Worldwide Church of God with the reverse speech machine, and I didn't realize I was. I met Sue Ford, who wrote a book under the pen name Bryce Taylor, and then later under a real name, Sue Ford, who's a mind-control victim,
mm-hmm.
in 2000 with Ted Gunderson. And she could tell by my questions, because I told her I thought my wife was a mind-control victim, and she says, well, they don't usually pair mind-control victims with non-mind-control victims.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably are. I said, well, I don't. And she says, do you have any missing time? I said, no. But then I went back and started looking at my life once I realized I was. I have a lot of missing time.
Huh. I'll be darned. Go ahead.
Do you wake up with bruises or marks on your body?
No.
You don't find any, like a needle mark or anything like that?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I do on a regular basis.
No. That's one of the things that I've not experienced. Although I have friends who are abductees that do what you're talking about. They do wake up with bruises. They do wake up with marks, that kind of thing. While we have a quick pause here for your listeners and for my benefit, can you explain to us how reverse speech works?
Okay, reverse speech is you take a tape recorded message of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you play it backwards, and you'll hear a portion of their thoughts. Most will come out from the subconscious mind. Now, David John Oates, his definition of a reversal is he only counts it if it has to do with forward speech. Well, I'm much more broad definition. I'll take whatever I can get. All right, and so I got one of the machines when I heard him doing O.J. Simpson reversals. And I thought, this is cool. I got to see if it's real. And small children learn to speak backwards first. If you were to take a toddler doing their gibberish and play it backwards, quite often you'll hear them clearly talking.
Ow.
What's that beep?
What is that beep?
Hi, you have a caller?
Who has a caller?
No. Yes, I'm a caller.
Hello, caller.
Hi, how you doing? This is Jim from Florida.
Go ahead, Jim.
I had a question. There, Jeff Rentz was talking last week about there's this software that picks up chatter on the internet, and there seems to be a date being repeated quite frequently. And you talked about these people are into numerology. I don't know if it was talking about October 17th of some big event happening. It was at halfpasthuman.com was the website. I'm just wondering if you knew of anything coming up in the next having to do with anything like that in October with maybe some kind of staged, you know, whatever they did on 9/11, you know, some kind, they pick these numbers that are have to do with numerology and stuff.
Well, George Bush, the President Bush, if you want to call him that, I'll call him the chimp of state. He was trying to put the country under martial law. He cannot do that now. There was a lot of things they've tried to do that they can't do. You know, there's 4.6 million Chinese soldiers in the United States that are on their way out. I mean, you know, George Bush was going to hand this country over to China, and they do have a fake alien invasion scenario as well planned at some point in time.
Yeah, I heard Stuart Shredlow's version of that being staged as some kind of terror attack where they'd have another reason to put us under martial law or global government, like another excuse to...
Yeah, I've been told there's one of these Area 51s like in Australia, Europe, China, and Russia. And they're all using similar technologies, which came from pre-flood man or possibly pre-Earth man. From Mars or that other planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they are creating these things, as many as they can. And it's horrendous what they do to create it. Caller, if you would really want to hear, if you go to BBS Internet Radio and look up the first show that I did, And that's where I'm telling about my wonderful Area 51 experience in 2003. Now, do you research this subject yourself quite often?
Yes, I do. I'm open to it, and I think there's just been a lot of things we haven't been told, and it's kind of like the more you get into it, it's like you can't make this stuff up. It's, you know, fact is stranger than fiction.
Have you seen any UFOs yourself?
Probably when I was a kid, growing up in eastern Canada, in Nova Scotia, I saw some strange things in the sky, but nobody else seemed to pay any attention to them. But I kind of was onto this a long time ago and believed what I was seeing, you know. So,
well, do you have any experience thinking you were abducted at any point in time?
No, not at all. I've seen a lot of Bud Hopkins stuff with being, you know, people have abductions and stuff. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, it probably happens. You know, these people are so advanced, and who knows what they're here for. But, you know, when people go into this state and they have these vivid, they recall all the details and so on, I mean, it just makes total sense that it's probably happening. I don't think I personally was affected by it. I have nothing, like no dreams or anything like that, ever missing time. I've never experienced anything like that.
You know, if you have a chance, you might want to have Stuart Swidlow on your program as a guest. You can find him at expansions.com. I know Stuart.
Okay. Well, maybe when we get off the show, you can give me his phone number, because I've tried to contact him in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
He and I had a long discussion about the Montauk Project and the Montauk Boys and some things that happened in my childhood.
Well, most of the shows, radio shows out there that are exposing this, Alex Jones, and this is what I believe and been told, and check with Reverse Speech, Anthony Hilder, Daniel Ott, these are operatives,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody, I've emailed everybody in the UFO thing that I could find on the internet that I've been to Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
I get very little feedback. They've sent people to get close to me, to try to get me, try to become my new handler, controller, and the story I told you, Joseph,
mm-hmm.
is you would think that people would want to hear the truth.
You would think.
But it's very hard for me to get on radio shows because the government controls most of these shows.
Right.
And if they're not a direct operative, they'll mind control them, and they'll be an operative.
Have you thought about contacting the people that put on UFO conferences?
I did.
To be a speaker?
I didn't get anywhere.
Okay.
And this Al never got anywhere with those people with the Planet X stuff either.
Hmm. I guess you have to write a book.
Well, you know, they keep me so broke. Typically, if you're a mind control victim and you know it, they will keep you broke. They'll have people constantly attacking you throughout your life, ripping you off, keeping you in a constant state of war so you can't stand back and look at what your life is really about. Now, in my case, I knew something was drastically wrong in my life, but I could never put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
Till I found out that me and my wife and kids were all mind control victims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys go. Thanks for the show. And another guest suggestion would be maybe you could have on George Green. He seems to have a lot of knowledge about what the higher ups in the government are doing. He went through that personally.
Well,
George Green out of California?
NoHoax.com. That's George Green.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's over 3.5 million mind control victims in this country. Every major country does it. Joseph Mengele was the one who designed it when he was torturing the kids. He was trying to create the ultimate warrior, is what I am. And the military and the black ops government are working hand in hand with all this, but they're not doing it right now. A lot of those people have been removed from power.
Hmm.
We got the biggest transfer of power in the world taking place right now, ever.
Like
there's a lot of these people are dying of pancreatic cancer, and you've got their evil ones right underneath them wanting to take their place. God is out of his box, and he's pissed. So if you and you look at pancreatic cancer is now the number four cancer in the world. That doesn't mean that everybody who dies of pancreatic cancer is part of this. But when you start seeing the top people at different organizations, like I've been told that most of the guys that are top of Black Ops have pancreatic cancer. I spoke with a nuclear space medicine contractor, and she told me that a number of people that run all these various high-up organizations or think tanks have pancreatic cancer. Those people are Illuminati or Jesuit.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to tell me about your UFO experience?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. well, I'd like to, yeah, actually there is. Now, whether this was UFO-related or interdimension being-related or whatever, I don't know. But going back to that scenario I was talking about with the shadowy people scurrying towards the house, and when I turned to go to the dining room, my memory then picks up with, I don't know if I was being put back on the couch or they were trying to lift me off the couch, but I could feel spindly arms under my my shoulders, my mid-back, lower back, my butt, my legs, and I knew there was a bunch of them, a bunch of something next to me, and they were on my left side, and I also have a martial arts background, and my defense mechanism kicked in, and I went to do a back fist with my left hand, and it froze in midair, and the more I tried to push it to hit one of these things, the more frozen it became until I got tired and I relaxed my arm and they relaxed whatever they were doing and my left arm kind of fell forward a little bit and the back of my left hand grazed down the arm of one of these things. And it felt like a frog. It had texture to it. It had that, well, you know, most of us as kids have felt a frog. Very odd, very delicate, very delicate.
Well, it's my belief that these things are, you know, possessed by deep demonic entities, and that might be where they get their strength and unseen force, or they might have some technical force shield abilities. I don't know, or I don't remember. Maybe I do know, and I don't remember. Now, you say you had a heavy martial arts background. What type?
Primary style, Wei Chi Ru, Okinawan style.
What is your rank?
Oh, I only made it halfway through the rank. Disc Q, green belt with a brown tip.
Are you? Did your martial arts ability exceed everyone else's when you started taking it?
Yes.
And you amazed your instructors at some of the things you did?
I was the only green belt being taught the black belt kata because I'd mastered everything else.
Okay, well, that's another bit. They probably used you as a hitter, because officially I have a second-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu. I took judo when I was 18. I whipped both instructors the first day. A college kid showed me all the falls, and he showed me once, and I could do them. And, you know, I studied it from books, but I never had anybody teach me to that point in time. And then when I took jiu-jitsu, I scared the hell out of the whole class when I first got there. They were all terrified of me. And I achieved the rank of black belt in 2 years, which is the fastest they've ever had anyone, because this is a very slow promotion system. But when I remembered my buds, my SEAL training, I went from about a fourth-degree skill level to over 10th.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
And have you ever had any instance of superhuman strength or speed?
Superhuman strength or speed.
Let's say somebody started a fight with you. And you whipped them up real fast with techniques that you don't remember being taught.
Well, okay, to be honest about it, there was one instance in college. I've always managed to avoid any kind of fights. But this is the wrong day and the wrong time and the wrong person saying the wrong thing. And he set down his pool cue and started coming to me. And I you know, barely adjusted my stance, and he reached out. I don't know what happened, to be honest about it. His hands were coming at me, my hands went up, and there was maybe a two-second, you know, skirmish, and I didn't hurt him. I think I was blocking everything he was trying to do, and he backed off with eyes big as saucers, and, you know, after that it was, hey, Joe, how you doing, you know, on campus.
Yeah.
I've never hurt anybody that I'm aware of. No conscious memory of doing that, but I've always made sure that I removed myself from any kind of combative situation like that, because I know deep down it's not difficult at all to hurt a human body. I did accidentally hurt one guy when I was shooting a movie with a back fist, and that's what made me realize just how delicate the human body is. And so I would loathe the day that I should be put in a situation where my father's son could come out. My dad was a scrapper. My dad was a serious scrapper. And I've one time been at that rage point. I'm like, oh, no, never again. Never again.
Well, I've been in a lot of fights, mostly at the mind control level, but, mm-hmm. you know, I've been in a lot of fights. I was programmed to lose all my fights for myself, but win them all for them as a kid. So I got beat up a lot when I was a kid.
I'll be darned.
And, but once, you know, as I got older, I got into wrestling and then into, martial arts,
mm-hmm.
And weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
I used to weigh 245. I'm 5'7". I used to bench, work out with 400 pounds on the bench, incline,
my
decline.
God.
I mean, I'm a scary guy. Even prior to knowing I was a mind control victim, I'd scare the hell out of people without even trying, you know. And I'm much more scary when I get a little bit upset, and I'm not the kind of person you'd want to fight with.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to fight over the last year 13 underground death matches. Over all this stuff, and I'm still alive. And there were world champions that I was fighting. Several of them are dead. Several of them are in institutions. Several of them are missing hands.
Incredible.
Well, I mean, you know, that's why they used me, because I have the natural ability, but I'll give God the credit for saving me and helping me, even though I'll give him more credit than myself.
Wow. In answer to a previous question of yours, since it is 1 o'clock my time and I'm going to have to go, yes, I am available next Thursday at same time.
Okay, well, we got 3 more minutes, according to, do you have to go right now? Because he started the show 1 minute late.
No, I have to go right now.
Okay. Well, then we'll end the show right here. This is Eugene D. Colson at Mind Controlled America. You may contact me at UGENEBCULSON at yahoo.com. I want to thank Donald Newsom and the BBS Internet Radio. And we will, next week, we'll get into the Chupacabra and Bigfoot, unless you remember some stuff. Now, I want you to start journaling. You want to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. My contact information, my website, I as in Ivan, T as in Thomas, S as in Stephen, - D as in David, M as in Michael, S as in Stephen, .com. And you can start off there. I have email address there. I've got all the news that's been going on, my being on the Monster Quest program on the History Channel. Lots of fun stuff. Go check it out.
All right. Well, thank you for being on here, Joseph. And this is Eugene B. Colson at Mind Controlled America, signing off.